الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته in Surah Ra'ad, Thunder, verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He does not change the condition of a nation until the nation decides for themselves to change their condition. So, if we are looking for our condition or for us to get better, we have to put in some effort ourselves. So we can't expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, for example, let's say I was to pray to Allah to increase in my sustenance. I would like to have this condition of mind, of poverty or not having enough money or not having a job. For that condition to change, in order for that change to happen, I'm going to have to decide myself that I would have to put in the effort for that condition to be changed. But for yourselves, like if you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, I would like to have good marks in my school or in my university. I don't think we have anyone in university here, but in our university or high school or elementary school, I would like to get good marks. Just praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting good marks is not going to happen. The way that this prayer is going to be accepted is that when you decide yourself that you're going to put in an effort, and by putting in the effort, you will be able to get the good results that you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So this is a main principle or the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for everybody. Okay, so if I want to change and I want to become better or I want to get out of the condition that I'm in, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have to decide myself and put in the effort, and this effort that I will put in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that I get a good result. Okay. So if we look at the conditions of the Muslims around the world, right? This is something now other than our own selves. Individually you do have to think about yourself in the sense that which direction you're going. You have to put in the right amount of effort. You have to become a better person. You have to excel in the things that you are doing. But Islam is not an individualistic religion. It's not that I can only think about myself and nothing else. I'm going to have to think about others as well, right? Even such that in the morning if I get up and I don't think about the people, for example, in Bahrain or our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan or in Pakistan or any around the world, wherever our Muslim brothers and sisters have been oppressed, if I don't think about them in the morning, according to a tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that this person is not even a Muslim. So if I woke up in the morning and I did not, or I was not concerned about my brothers and sisters around the world, or I did not look at the news, or I did not try to find out what is going on with them, then the Prophet is saying that this person is not even a Muslim. So remember that tomorrow is going to come, and whatever you're going to be thinking in the morning, if in your thoughts in the morning your brothers and sisters around the world is not in your thoughts, then according to the Prophet, your Islam is in danger. So Islam is actually not an individualistic religion. It is a religion that is about submitting to the will of Allah. And whatever is in the submission to the will of Allah, this is what a Muslim does. Okay? So try to think about that in the morning. We become very, you know, individualistic people when we are being raised or in this culture or society that we live in. Because right now, like, you're in a comfortable place, Let's say the neighbor's house was burning. What would you do? Most of us, the first thing we would do is call 911. And after calling 911, we'll stay and watch while the fire department comes and rescues those people or have the, fire put out. Most of us. And you might have seen that too. You're going on highway, there's an accident, you don't stop, you let the emergency vehicles to come and take care of it. And in the way that we are raised is that if you see that there is a problem, yes, you indicate to someone else, but you do not actively participate in it. And by this sort of mentality, people become very individualistic. They stop thinking about others. They stop acting and caring and helping others. They just become a very individualistic person. Where if their environment is good, they are okay, everything is fine, they don't really care what is happening with someone else. And Islam is saying that no, you cannot be that way. If you wake up in the morning and you don't think about your brothers and sisters around the world, that you're not even a Muslim. So, inshallah, you will try to actively think about this, okay? Pray for your brothers and sisters in Bahrain, in the morning, try to, in your Fajr prayers, after your Fajr prayers, recite Surah Al-Hamd for them, for the people who have been martyred. Recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallah, for them. And read a bit of Quran for them, read a bit of dua for them. This will help you to get out of this individualistic shell and start thinking about others. Okay? A person who's an individualistic thinker who only thinks about himself or herself, that person is not really waiting for the 12th Imam to come. Is the 12th Imam coming for me? Is he just coming for me? No. He's coming for the whole world. He's also coming for China, for Tokyo, for Japan, right? For Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Ireland, England, Scotland, where else? Canada, America, right? Iceland, Antarctica, Alaska. He's coming for every single individual on the face of this earth. All the 6 billion people that are on the face of this earth, he's coming for all of them. He's going to come and put that system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the whole world. In that system, everybody will be there. So if you were to ask Imam Ismail, do you care about the people that are other than Muslims? He would say yes. Why? Because when I am here and it is a responsibility for all of you who are the ambassadors of Islam for you to participate actively and, become role models or beacons of light for the people around you. It's not just for Muslims he's coming. He's coming for every single individual in the world. There'll be a lot of people who will become Muslims after he's here. A lot of the people who are even right now not Muslims, but they are supporting justice and liberty and peace. They are the supporters of that. Right? So a person, a Muslim who is waiting for the 12th Imam cannot be an individualistic person. They have to think universally. They would have to think in a matter of, they have to expand their horizons. Do you think a prejudiced person could be in the army of the 12th Imam? A prejudiced person will not be in the army of the 12th Imam. An individualistic person will not be in the army of the 12th Imam. A person who takes the rights of others, do you think that person could be in the army of the 12th Imam? A person who does not like justice. A person who likes justice for others but does not like justice, what? For himself. That person will not be in the army of the 12th Imam. It's not just a matter of religious duties that we are doing and performing, but with the religious duties that we perform, there's also other things that we need to help ourselves and others to prepare for the coming of the 12th Imam. So inshallah, the time is close. There's a lot of things that are happening in the news. I'm sure you have heard about all the uprising or Islamic awakening or people deciding that, you know, they've had enough of the tyrants that they are, who have been oppressing them for years, and they're deciding to get up and do something about it. And this uprising, or the way that mentally they have now started to think differently, and they're looking for justice, and they're looking for a better system, and they don't want corruption, this is actually the prelude of the coming of the 12th Imam. And according to the signs that we have in the different traditions from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the time for the coming of the 12th Imam is very, very close. And we were talking to you guys before, either we're going to be the people who are going to watch this revolution on TV, or we're going to be the people who are going to participate in it. Who are you going to be? The question is, which category you're going to be in? Are you going to be the one watching through CNN on Press TV or Al Jazeera, or are you going to be the one who are going to actually participate in the revolution that is about to come? If we're going to be part of the people that are going to be watching it on TV, there would be very big regrets. There will be regrets that we will not be able to live with ourselves. There are people who watched the revolution of Islam in Iran. They watched it on TV. Those individuals who watched it on TV or they heard through the news, they have regrets for the rest of their lives that why did they not participate themselves. Or the 8-year war that was there between Iraq and Iran, people who watched it on the news, on the TV, they have regret. Then why did they not participate actively in that? Or in our own time when, you know, the 33-day war between Hezbollah and Israel, we watched it on TV. And there are people who will live the rest of their lives in this regret, why did they not participate actively? It's not just one or two events, it's so many events in just, you know, if you've lived in this world for the last 35, 40 years, there were so many events that happened, that were revolutions, that were inqalabs, that happened, and people just remained in their houses, and that's it. And they watched it on TV or they heard the news. What if Imam was to come tomorrow? What if Imam was to come tomorrow? This is a question that, you know, we have to ask ourselves. Did the people that, you know, in the earthquake that came in, did they knew that they're going to be having this earthquake and then they would have to deal with all of the problems that they're dealing with right now? But if we go to sleep and in the morning we hear that Imam is here, you're going to go to school? Well, it's March break, right? So it's a good thing, right? March break, then you can at least do something about it, right? If it was school, then you'd be worried about school, what was going to happen to my grades, what's going to happen to this and this and this and this. Have you ever thought in your minds, what would you do? Imam was to come tomorrow and you hear that he's here. Have you gone to sleep thinking that? Have you ever gone to sleep thinking that tomorrow in the morning Imam's going to be here? Because to be honest, the way the feeling is inside of a lot of people, that it is going to be like this. that we will go to sleep and we'll find out in the morning that Imam's here. So are we prepared about it? Do we have discipline? Okay, how old then a person should be for them to participate in the revolution of the 12th Imam? How old should a person be? If you look at the revolution of the 12th Imam, in that revolution it is same as what happened in Karbala. Even a 6 months baby participated in that. Hazrat Ali Asghar participated in that. An 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 13-year-old, 11-year-old. So you guys cannot be saying that I'm just a kid. Walaikum salam. That I'm just a child, so because I'm just a child, I'm not really going to be participating. I'm just going to be looking at over the TV or just hearing it through the news. What can I say to you? What can I say to you that you will change the way that you think? What can I say to you that you will get out of the things that you're involved in day to day and start thinking that the time of coming of the 12th Imam is here? What is it that I can say to you that will change your today from your tomorrow or from your past, from your yesterday? Is there any words that can be said, or is it that a person has to decide themselves? You are kids, you are children, you have to have, you know, your participation of games and so forth. But is that why you are there? Just to play games? Is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us that, you know, from 0 to 14 or 15, some people actually 25, 30, 35, they think that the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them was to play Xbox 360 and become really good in Call of Duty or, you know, become really champions of PSP and DS and become the person, you know, who can play the most, who can clear the most levels of Angry Birds or, you know, they think that this is the reason why they're created. So, because they're created for that reason, so they spend 25, 30, 35 years in just doing that. We have not been created for this. You and I, we have not been created for that. I see, mashallah, some of you, you know, you are young, but you are very mature. And that's really good. I see some of you that, you know, understand that, okay, yeah, you have to have your recreation, but you also have to spend time in learning about Islam, in participating actively, in volunteering. Yeah, you understand that. And it's a very good thing. But do you think this is enough? Is there more things that can be done? Can we just say that I've done enough and that's it? Are you a better person than you were yesterday? Have you decided to change one habit of yours? See, just coming over and spending a bit of time and having pizza afterwards and asking a few questions and going home is actually not the purpose, right? The purpose is that you have to decide yourself that you're going to change. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change those nations that don't change themselves. Have a schedule. Okay, this is practically what you can start doing. Do you know how to recite Ziyarat-e-Ashura? No? Anybody? Do you know how to recite Arabic? Like, you read Arabic? You know how to recite Quran? Yes, Zarat al-Ashura is in Arabic. So if you can recite Quran, you probably will be able to recite Zarat al-Ashura. 3 times a week, or you can have 7 days, 7 times a week. In the morning, start that. Dua Ahad, do you know about that dua? Dua Ahad is the prayer to make a promise to the 12th Imam. And a person who will recite that dua sincerely and is participating actively and deciding to change himself would be in the army of the 12th Imam if they do it for 40 days continuously. So when you go home, or right now as well afterwards, you can ask me about Dua Ahad and Ziyarat Ashura and make that part of your schedule. In the morning when you get up, when you get up, at what time? What time does a Muslim get up in the morning? 12 o'clock? 11? 10? The Muslim wakes up in the morning, whatever time is? Fajr time. A mu'min wakes up at Fajr? A mu'min wakes up before Fajr. When does a Shia wake up? A Shia wakes up before the mu'min. When does the soldier of the 12th Imam wakes up? Before the Shia. So, whatever time you're going to wake up in the morning, you would know who you are. If you woke up at Fajr time, you're a Muslim. If you woke up a bit, half an hour before Fajr time, you're a mu'min. If you woke up an hour or an hour and a half before Fajr, you are a Shia. And if you woke up 2 hours before Fajr, you are a soldier of the 12th Imam. So let's see. But what happens if you wake up after Fajr? Can you fit into any of these categories? Can you fit into the category of a Muslim, Mu'min, Shia, soldier of the 12th Imam? No. Which category do you fit in? You're a Canadian. Right? So, inshallah, you will try, and this is for me as well. I will try as well. This is the, you know, if you make the intention and you start in the age that you're in right now, inshallah, the Imam is going to be here. You will see it, you will participate in it, you will be in his government. Some of us will still be alive if we're not martyred. We'll still be alive, we'll be able to see the whole system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented on this world. We will be seeing it filled with justice and peace. We will see equality, we will see people worshipping all different kinds of creeds and nations as one. We will see Khana Kaaba, we will see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become free. We will see Baytul Muqaddas become free. We will see our Imam, we will see our Aima, we will see all of those things, and the time is very near for all of that. So enough is enough, myself as well and you, enough is enough, no more time to waste. Let's get ourselves ready and show to the 12th Imam, who's going to see what you've done during the week on Friday, that we are ready spiritually and mentally and physically for him to come and guide us, in which justice and peace will be filled in this world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. If you guys, Allahumma shukr. You see, Imam's expectation from us is what our potentials are, or what we are able to do. As individuals, we have different abilities. We have things that we're good at. Whatever that we are good at, Imam's expectation is with us that we utilize those potentials, those abilities for participating in the revolution of the 12th Imam. So if for example, you are a good writer, if you're able to write really well, then you should write articles or emails, or start on a book or something that this skill that you have, you can utilize towards the revolution of the 12th Imam. If you are a person who likes to read, then you read and you become better and in understanding about the different aspects of Islam. So what you have to do is you have to decide what you're good at. Imam's expectation is not that if you're good at Xbox 360 that you should, you know. No, what are you good at? And whatever you are good at, Imam wants you to use that skill or that ability towards that, towards Islam, towards Muslims. At least, let's say, you know, you should have enough ability inside of your heart. If there is, for example, a protest, at least participate in it. At least inside of your heart, don't have the love for the enemies of Islam. You know, if you can't even do that, then, you know, what are you waiting for? What is a person waiting for? Some people say, okay, you become a good doctor, and then, yeah, Imam's going to need doctors as well in his revolution. People are going to get hurt, Imam's going to need doctors, right? But the doctor who's become a doctor for the sake of becoming a doctor, Imam is not going to need that person. Do you think Imam's going to need IT people too? The only reason why he would need IT people if the infrastructure of the internet and so forth is still there when Imam comes. If it's not there, then he's not going to be needing any IT professionals. You think he's going to need lawyers? There will be no lawyers required. So what is it that you can, you know, you have to think, what is it that you can do to actively participate in the revolution of the 12th Imam? What is it that you can do? And yani, even now, like I said, Imam can come tomorrow, right? So if he comes tomorrow, what can you do?
Jay. But even if you have lawyers and IT people, I mean, they use their finances back to other people,
it's going to be money. Money is something that, considering the fact that if it is the case that, you know, money still exists and, you know, we don't have RFID chips inside of us, where, you know, because basically the way that the world is going is that they're finishing the currency, you know, like the paper. Paper currency is going to become absolute. Everybody is going to have, you guys have seen it, right? Like, you have these sort of chips that are implanted inside of your body, and then, or you have, you know, the chip that you have on your debit card. Have you seen it? Have you seen your mom or dad's debit card? It is on credit cards as well. See that little chip in there that has all of the information that, because that chip goes in and then they read the information from your bank and you put in your password, and then once you put in your password, they take the money out and then that's it. Electronically, everything happens. So if Imam was to come tomorrow, yes, he's going to need maybe, you know, printed money. But a lawyer who's making money for the Imam and thinking that they can utilize that money for the Imam, if that lawyer is not paying khums, if that lawyer is making a house which is 10,000 square foot and driving a Lamborghini, that lawyer's money is not needed by the 12th Imam. Imam is not going to take, like, you know, money that khums has not been given out of, or a person who goes through and spends, you know, so much money for these things to become part of consumerism, that person's money is not needed. A person who's pious, a person who's good, Yes. But if it comes to that point, like, you know, think about it. I still might live, I don't know, but I might live for another 20 years. Right? So if you think about it, the way things are changing, right? In the last 5 or 10 years, the way things have changed, what would be things in the next 20 years? But coming back to what I was saying to you, you should know what you can do to participate in the revolution of the 12th Imam. Right now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, whatever amount of time that you think as an average you will live in this world. So do you see what I'm saying? If Imam comes tomorrow, what you can do? If Imam comes after 5 years, what you can do? If Imam comes after 10 years, what you can do? If Imam comes after 20 years, what you can do? Right? It's not just thinking and then that's it.
When it's Maghrib time, then if you want to split it to wait for Isha time, you can have until, you know, until the time Isha ends, which might be 12 or something. Like, it doesn't matter if you, like, you can do it any time in between then. You don't have to do it, you know, an hour and a half later.
No, I mean, midnight.
After midnight, you're just hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your prayer. So in your intention, you're just hoping. But actually, you're supposed to pray before midnight.
But, like, not before, like, say, I don't know. There's a way to calculate.
Yeah, midnight, yeah. About approximately, let's say 11:30 is midnight. You can pray before 11:30. But a person, it's not that you're going to get a reward if you delay your prayer, if you delay your Isha. Isha approximately about an hour and a half or so, about, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, within that time frame after Maghrib, if you read it, that's a good time for Isha.
So you can delay your Isha. You should pray it an hour and a half or like 2 hours after?
Just like Zohar and Asr. Just like Zohar time is at 1:30, and you pray Asr around 3:35 or 3:37.
So the more you delay, the less time you get to it.
No, you have to understand, delaying is something else, and praying at the time that it is something else. It's not delaying. You know, you pray Fajr at Fajr time, you pray Zohar at Zohar time, you pray Asr at Asr time, you pray Maghrib at Maghrib time, you pray Isha at Isha time. This is separated, right? It's not delaying. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You can combine the prayers, because the time of Zohar, right after Zohar time, you get into the time for Asr as well. So you can combine the two together. Or right after the Maghrib prayers, you get into the Isha prayer time. So you can combine them together. But we're not talking about delaying, you don't get any sawab.
Okay.
At Fajr time, Zohar time, Maghrib, Asr at Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha at Isha time, it is a lot better, because you are actively participating and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after every an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's a lot tougher as well. But if you don't have the time, and your time is going to be constrained, and you know that you won't be able to pray Asr, and Asr will become Qadha, then you should not do that. Join your prayers together. Your dad has a question. You should try to look for more opportunities during your day to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, like, a lot of the times a person that we love, we're looking for excuses. Or just any excuse so that we can be with that person. Right? So, and if you're able to do your wajib prayers, your obligatory prayers, then you can put in some of your nawafil as well, or you know, you can pray and gift it to the 12th Imam. You can do that. Or if there's a birthday of, let's say Imam Hasan Askari Alayhi birthday was there, you could do extra effort and give that extra effort as a hadiyah, as a gift to that particular Imam. And to be honest, the worship that you're supposed to do, and more worship, you're supposed to do it when you're young. It's not when you're old. So these things that we're talking about, Namaz-e-Shab and Ziyarat-e-Ashura and staying up at night and doing your prayers, dividing your prayers, putting in the effort in worship is right now. Because you have the, in a way, you have the time as well, if you think about it. Right? Like when you get a job and you're working 8 to 9 to 10 hours, your time is more occupied. But if you are, let's say, going through school, you have some time in the middle, your classes are an hour and a half in between, you have time. You utilize that time for worship. Anybody else other than the people who are already asking questions? See, the situation that is there, it has a positive side to it. It has things that we should be concerned about, but it has a positive side to it. And the positive side is that Muslims have decided that the government should be in the hands of a pious person. One positive is this, that the government that should be in the hands of a pious person, not a tyrant. That we should be governed by individual who is a pious and good person. Like, for example, can you tell me some pious leaders around the world? Ahmadinejad as a pious leader. Anyone else? Hassan Nasrullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Anyone else? I don't know. A pious, just not having any desire of the world inside, protecting the rights of the oppressed. Supreme leader, Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and keep him safe. If you think about it, like if you start thinking about pious leaders around the world, let's say in Muslim Ummah, if we don't go outside of the Muslim countries, just in the Muslim Ummah, you ask anybody, even you ask the people in Bahrain, you ask the people in Misr, you ask the people in Tunisia, you ask the people in Libya, these names would be given to you. So people have decided that, enough is enough, and they cannot be ruled by tyrants who are only there to make money and billions of dollars for themselves and not think about the poor people and not give the rights of the oppressed. And they have had it enough. And that's a very positive change. And this change should be in the minds of all the Muslims around the world. And this change of thinking should also be in the people of the world. So at least the good part is that the Muslims are deciding that. That's really good. And obviously it is something that makes us... it makes us think that it is possible that Imam would come as soon as possible. Because people could never imagine that, people that have been ruling for 30 years, 32 years, 40 years, that their rule would become jeopardized. Have you seen floods? What does floods make up of? Water, right? Where does this water come from? The sky. When it comes from the sky, is it a flood? It's not a flood. It's called rain, right? So it's just drop and drop and drop and drop, right? So this flood that is there, in a way, if you think about it, the flood that's there of the people that are deciding to do that, it's one drop at a time. And this flood can happen if people in every country, it can happen if these drops, individuals, they decide that enough is enough. Anybody hard is because we're not really motivated to do it. If you're motivated to do it, nothing is hard, right? If somebody was to hand out money when you wake up and half an hour before Fajr, will you wake up? How many of you have actually woken up for Boxing Day sales? And then gotten in lineups to save 10%, 15%, or door crashers, no? It's motivation, you know? How much are you motivated? Anything else? In His coming, and we're going to become better, we're not going to stay the same, we're going to become a better worshipper. We're going to start doing extra stuff. We'll start thinking about our brothers and sisters all around the world. We'll participate in whatever we are good at. We're going to start doing that for the sake of the 12th Imam. And we're going to start loving him more than we love our selves. Yeah. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you all, give you strength. All the enemies of Islam who are trying to harm Islam, may they be harmed themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our marjas, increase in their life, have their guidance come to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the revolution of Islam in Iran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Imam Khamenei, give him long life, get all the Muslims united under his banner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the friends and followers of the 12th Imam. May he come as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih. Fi hazihi sa'a wa fi kulli sa'a. Waliyan wa hafidhan wa qaidan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa ayna. Hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'ah. وتمتعه فيها تليلاً.